when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 here on WDER Radio. Once again, my name is Pastor N.R. Davis. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church here in Manchester, New Hampshire. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry, you can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. That is theabidinglightchurch.com. You can go and look us up also on the Facebook. We're over here on the west side of Manchester, preaching to you the Word of God. Tune in with us as we go into the sanctuary of the Abiding Light Church. If you have your Bibles, Lamentation, chapter 3, this is a book that was written by, many would say, by Jeremiah the prophet. How many knows what Jeremiah the prophet was identified as? He was known as the weeping prophet. And with a quick overview of Jeremiah, Jeremiah was probably, and some would maybe debate this, but as I've read, in my opinion, he was probably a prophet that suffered more than any other of the major or minor prophets. This was a man that was sent to a very hard-hearted people, God's people. He was rejected. He had to preach messages that were very, very straightforward and strong to God's people. They gnashed on him. They hated him. They rejected him. I could go on and on about the sufferings. He was beaten when he preached and prophesied. And I said in verse 18, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath him still in remembrance. And he is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good to them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Can you say amen to the Word of God? Can I share a few thoughts this morning with you on hope? Simply that word, hope. You ever just felt hopeless in your life? Your circumstances, the trial that God has placed you in. Maybe some of you can look back at the past of what you faced, what you went through, and at some point in your life, tragedy struck. Hard times were there for maybe years on end. You were in a place where you felt like you could not get out, you could not escape. You were trapped. Heartache and pain overwhelmed you every day. Your mind was tormented. We read the words of the prophet Jeremiah. And we read in Lamentation, we know that he is the weeping prophet, and he begins to give a description of everything. No doubt he's writing this and looking back at his experience. It's one thing to be going through something It's another thing when you finally come out the other side, amen, and you still have breath in your lungs. How many have ever felt like they've walked through the valley of the shadow of death? Amen. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of you know what I'm talking about because you've been in affliction. You've been through those hard places where you did not think you were going to see the light of day. Weeping was enduring for the night, and you're waiting for your morning to come where there's a new day and the light would be shining and the clouds would drift away. But oh, the sun never came out, and your trial was still there, and you were still dealing with your feelings, your emotions, the physical oppression, the mental oppression, the spiritual oppression. And it seemed like the enemy was coming in like a flood. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about being in a place where you feel hopeless. You feel like nobody cares. Nobody calls. Nobody's praying for me. Nobody is coming to my door and knocking to see how I'm doing. It seems like everybody's forsaken me. And see, I could handle, amen, friends forsaking me, and maybe a mother or father, a brother or sister forsaking me. I can handle that. But what do you do when you feel like God has forsaken you and God has driven you into a dark place, a valley of despair, a valley of heartache and pain, and you don't understand, if God's such a merciful God, if God's such a gracious God, why has He allowed me to be driven into a place of such pain and suffering and despair? Would a God of love and compassion and mercy allow me to suffer with such heartache and pain that my heart is broken in a million pieces and I cannot put it back together? Brothers and sisters, this is the position of the prophet. He is saying, oh God, why are you allowing me to go through this? Because there's some things that we can only learn and truly get to know our God. See, it's one thing to know God and the power of His resurrection, but Paul said, I want to know Him. It is a dangerous thing to begin to say, I want to know God. I want to understand God. I want to draw closer to God. Oh, be careful when you make that prayer. Paul said that I may know Him and in the power of His resurrection. But don't forget, there's another side of God that we can only really begin to get to know Him is when we go and we know Him through the fellowship of His sufferings. Can you say amen? Oh, it's easy to know God when times are good, when your health is good, when you got money in the bank account, when things are going well in your family and everything is at ease and everything is going well and you're just comfortable. But oh God, how many of us know God is a God, amen, that not only can show you those good times, those times of blessings, those times of peace, those times of serenity, of saying it is well with my soul and everything's okay. But oh, there's a time where God will bring you and me into those places of pain, into those, oh, those Garden of Gethsemane experiences, where He'll make us drink a bitter cup of despair. And you'll say, Lord, do I have to go through this? I believe there's some of us here today that have been in some places of despair, have felt like God has forsaken you. You feel discouraged. You feel frustrated. You feel like the enemy's coming in, and I'm not going to get out of this one. But I'm here to tell you, it is the prophet that gives the description of all the pain, all the suffering, all the heartache. And it's God saying, I'm revealing to you my heart. I'm showing you, if you really want to know me, I've got to bring you through some things, let you experience some good times. But oh, if we're really going to get to know God and really begin to see God, it's going to be in the valley. It's going to be in the trials of life. Listen to me, somebody. I know this won't make you shout, but I'm telling you, if you really want a good in-depth experience with knowing God, you're going to have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, and God will reveal Himself to you in those places where He seems like He isn't even there. There are times where God will seem like he's nowhere to be seen. Job said it best when he says, I looked ahead of me. I looked to the left. I looked to the right. I looked all around me. I lost everything. And you know what Job went through. But oh, brothers and sisters, Job says he was not there. Where is my God in my darkest hour? Where all I can still hear the heart cry of the Son of God. It was Jesus that hung upon that cross, and it was God that had to turn his face from his only begotten Son. You hear me and hear me well. When they were mocking him, when they were, oh, they did all that they did to him, and they hung him up on that cross. Even Jesus Christ, our Lord, was forsaken by the Father for a few hours. These are not the times that we get up and necessarily altogether testify about. We don't get up and shout and say, oh, I went through this and went through that. Listen, if some of us to really tell how bad some of our trials were, oh, glory be to God. Are you listening to me? How many of us know the reality of really, truly how bad it was? Some people won't want to admit it, but they've been so low, they've been suicidal. They felt that it was easier just to kill themselves. I feel the Holy Ghost right here. Some of you wouldn't even admit it this morning. Oh, but I can tell you this. You can get such a man into a low place in a valley of despair that all you say, I just want to end it all. I just want to kill myself. It was Job's wife that looked at him in all of his despair and all of his affliction. And she said, why don't you just curse God and die, Job? It's pretty bad when you get to a place where you just feel like dying. And as he reflects on all the suffering, all the pain, all the heartache, he's writing this third chapter and he's looking back. It's easier to look back at what God's brought you through, amen? But when you're in the middle of something, it's hard to see God. Amen. It's hard to see God when you're hurting. It's hard to see God when you're in sorrow. It's hard to see God when you're so discouraged that you don't even feel like getting up and fulfilling your responsibilities for the day. Come on, somebody. Do I have anybody in here that knows what I'm talking about? Amen. I'm telling you, people don't want to admit it, but we've got so many Christians in the church that are oppressed of the devil. The devil has come in like a flood, and he's telling some people, you're not going to get out of this one. I'm taking you out on this one. Oh, Jeremiah writes some words in this third chapter, and he said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. I didn't even have any hope in my God that God could bring me out of this. Have you ever just felt like you did not even have any hope to get out of your circumstances, that you've been too deep? There's nobody that can help you. Oh, but I'm here to tell you the devil is a liar. He was trying to lie to Jeremiah and tell him, oh, you're going to die in this. You're going to the grave. You're not going to see the fulfillment of God's plan for your life. That's what the devil tells some of us, is that you're not going to see the light of day. This trial is going to take you out. Let me drop this on your front doorstep. Amen. This divorce is going to take you out. Oh, your backslidden state is going to take you out. This affliction in your body, in this sickness, this disease, this cancer is going to take you out. And in the midst of all that, all you can hear are the hounds of hell and the devil saying, you're not going to get out of this one. But I'm here to bring you some good news today and let you know that in all of this misery, all of this physical suffering, mental suffering, even hope, amen, is perished from Jeremiah. In that 24th verse, he says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to you on hope this morning. Hope is something that we have an expectation. Amen. Hope and faith go together. Hope is a desire accompanied by an expectation. Are you listening? Hope is a desire with an expectation or belief to see something fulfilled. I'm going to read it again to you so you get this in your spirit. A desire accompanied with expectation that it's not going to stay this way. I said, I'm not going to always be in this place. I don't know what some of you are going through. I don't know what you're facing, and the devil's saying it's never going to change. But I'm here to tell you, hear the word of the Lord, church. Hear the word of the Lord. Ah, we've got hope in God. Somebody say amen. I said somebody say amen. Somebody needs to understand. I don't care how bad it's getting. I don't know how bad it's getting in your home. How bad your financial situation is. I don't know how your children are doing or how your marriage is doing. But there's hope in God. Hallelujah. You don't have to die in this trial. You don't have to die in despair. You don't have to die physically, mentally, and spiritually, because there is hope in our God. There is hope in God if you believe it. One more time. Say amen, church. Hope is something that is birthed on the inside. But what do you do when not even hope is working? Hope and faith work together. It's an expectation of believing that you are going to come out. Hey, how many have ever been sick? And I'm not talking just a little cold. I'm talking you were sick unto death. How many remember when I was in that hospital for 5 days after getting back from Mexico, laying there with my stomach swollen out, intestines so swollen from the inside that everything was shutting down? Said that we don't want this bacteria to travel through your blood and get into your main organs and spread throughout your body. You want to talk about casting down vain imaginations. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have been sick unto death. Amen. And the enemy comes in and says, oh, this bacteria is going to kill you. This cancer is going to kill you. This sickness is going to kill you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? How many have really been really, really sick where you didn't even feel like moving because it hurts so bad? You didn't want to take the phone call. You couldn't even put on a fake smile to act like everything's okay. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, I know that sometimes we'll put on a fake smile, but we're hurting on the inside. We're dying on the inside. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, it might look like there's no hope, but can I tell you, I was laying in that hospital bed and God began to deal with this preacher, and the word of the Lord came to me when the enemy came in saying, you're going to die. You're going to die right here in this hospital bed, and they're going to have a funeral for you. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, this sickness is not unto death. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Listen, we've got to believe the report of the Lord. Too many of us are believing the voice of the devil. We're believing our carnal mind. But God would say to somebody today, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. But you're going to live, and God's going to get the glory. Hallelujah. I'm talking the enemy. When you're in that despair, it's hard to pull somebody out when they hit rock bottom. You don't even want to help yourself if someone don't drag you out. I've seen them hit rock bottom so low, you've got to drag them out of a burning building if so. I've seen it. They would just lay there and just die. But all glory be to God. I thank God for Jesus, that when he died upon that cross and he became sin for us, and the Father turned all his face against his only begotten Son, that was the darkest hour that the earth had ever seen. That's what the Bible says, the earth. Amen. It grew so dark. Oh, listen to me. Because God had turned away his face from his only begotten Son. And he died upon that cross. But oh, they buried that man in a tomb. But he was just not any man. We have hope in Jesus today. Because on that third day, getting up morning, Christ Jesus rose from the dead. I said he rose from the dead. He's alive. He's alive. And because he lives, we have hope in Jesus Christ. What are you going to do with a man that they kill and comes back to life?
What are you going to do with a man that they killed him? They stuck a spear in his side. Oh, but the word of God declares there wasn't one broken bone. Oh, they went to go ahead and break his legs, but they said he's already dead. He gave up the ghost. They didn't kill him. No, many people said the Romans killed him. They didn't kill him. He laid down his life. You ain't hearing me. He was willing to become death for us. Oh, that we didn't have to experience death. Oh, listen to me now. He became death for us. And in that Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, do I have to drink that cup? How many know what the Bible says when he went through Gethsemane? Do I have to drink that cup? Was there a cup sitting there in Gethsemane? No, no. He was talking about, do I got to go through this? Have you ever said, why do I got to go through this? Why did you have to give me a husband like this? Why did you have to give me a family like this? Why did you have to give me, amen, sin to deal with like this? Why did you put me in these, oh, listen to me. Why? Sometimes we've got to just drop that word out of our vocabulary or it will torment us. I want to help you to understand that what was in that cup was everything. He became sin for us. He became sickness. He became oppressed and depressed. Was he oppressed and depressed? No, he wasn't. But he became. He took it on him. Every sin, he became it. Can you say amen? And what we need to understand is he drank that cup. And I want you to get this now. Are you with me? The Bible says that hope is something that we have with a heart of expectation. It's something we're expecting and believing God for. How many are believing God for something here today? Trust in the Lord to do something for them. Maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you want to see a lost loved one be saved. Maybe there's some set of circumstances you have told nobody of some of the things you're facing and going through. And you're believing that God. How many of us know God is the only one that can change some things? God is the only one that can fix some problems. God is the only one that can save and change some people. There comes a time where we've just got to give them to God. Just give them to God. Say, he's yours. She's yours. I'm not going to fuss. I'm not going to fight anymore. I'm not going to sit here and struggle with this anymore. God, these are your children. These are your grandchildren. Listen to me. This is your husband. Oh, listen. And you know what I'm saying, God? I'm giving him. I'm giving her. I'm giving them back to you. I think sometimes, and I've done it myself, we've gotten so caught up in getting burdened for somebody that we forget that God loves them more than we do. Come on, somebody. God loves them more than we ever could. He died for him. Are you listening? And he's willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, what God is wanting me to tell some of you today is just give it to Jesus. Give it to him. He is the one that can fix that problem. He is the only one. And the only thing that you need to do is have faith and hope that God is able to do it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are you hoping to see God do? Is there some things on your heart this morning that you're hoping to see God intervene? Maybe you need healing. Maybe you just got unmentionable prayer requests that you do not even want to share, because if you really shared them, you know folks would look at you differently and think differently about you. Talking about the unmentionable prayer requests. And if we really, really, really could open up our hearts and expose the way we really feel. Many of us know God knows the hearts of all men. I don't know your heart, but God knows your heart. And there are some things that you're believing God for. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope in God. Amen. The Bible has given us this word that gives us hope. For whatsoever things were written aforetime in the scriptures, in all in the Old Testament, what has been written in the Bible were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The Bible says that everything that great men of God in the Old Testament all the way up through the New Testament in every one of those 66 books in the Bible, that they were given to us not only to learn, but show us an example of how God moved in their life. Are you listening? It was God that sovereignly moved in men of old's life. When I think of Abraham, the father of faith, who patiently waited for the fulfillment of the promise of his son Isaac, year after year, year after year, year after year, God gave him a promise, but it did not come to pass. But the Bible says that he had hope. Hallelujah. He had hope in God that God would bring to pass that which he had promised. Oh, are you listening to me? But the hardest thing to do is have faith, hope, and then obviously the one thing that we all probably struggle with, and I know especially many of us, is the patiently waiting for God to bring it to pass. We have faith, we have hope, but God says in the midst of all that, you got to have patience to let me bring it to pass. You know, if God gives us some prayer request and answers some prayers before we're ready, it can really mess up our lives. There's some things we're not ready for yet. And the Bible talks about how that it is a process in our life of patiently waiting on God in the times and seasons that he has us. There is a time of patiently waiting for the Lord. It was David in Psalm 40 that said he cried unto the Lord. He was in an awful place. He was full of heartache and pain and misery. He felt encamped. It was one of the worst times of his life. And he says, I waited patiently for the Lord and he heard my cry. It was David that had hope and an expectation that his God would deliver him. What we've got to do is remind ourselves through the scriptures and through all of our learning that the same God that came through for Abraham, the same God that came through for Noah, the same God that came through all the great men and women of the Bible, the same God that fought on the battlefield with Gideon, the same God that moved in the life of Deborah, the same God that moved through the prophets, the same God that moved, amen, is our God also, and we can put hope in him and faith in him. As we begin to close this radio broadcast, I want to remind you we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. This is Pastor N.R. Davis. I'm the pastor of the Abiding Light Church on the west side of Manchester. If you'd like to go to our website, you can go to it at theabidinglightchurch.com. We would be so delighted to hear from you. We would be so encouraged to know that those of you that have listened today have been encouraged by the Word of God. Once again, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 here on WDER Radio. I want to just let you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Until next Saturday, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.